Yeah, your Bible, Sandy, turn to Exodus, this is the third chapter. While you're finding that, I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank the good pastor for letting me come and preach. I always call it an honor to come and preach here at Bethel because I know that you like hearing the Word of God.
Yes.
And I know that you're a good fundamental church that believes only in the Word of God and what it really says. You have your King James Version Bible handy, just open it up to the third chapter. If you have anything else, just lay it aside. Exodus, the third chapter. I'd like to begin reading. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word in the seventh verse. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmakers, for I know their sorrows. Now drop down to verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. This will be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Then in verse 13, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we just bow before you as humbly as we know how. Ready to receive your word today. Father, use me as nothing more than an earthen vessel that the very word of God might flow through me and touch the hearts of each and every one here. Father, we all stand ready to receive your word now. In Jesus' blessed name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I posted a post on Facebook that I was going to title the message today, My Candidate Didn't Win. Now, before you all get up and leave, I'd like to clarify that, and I'd like to add a little bit to that. My candidate hasn't won yet. Because we have an opportunity as Christian people to get behind and fortify and pray for the one that's leading our country. Whether you voted for him or whether you didn't, that is the man that will lead our country today. Now, I think most everybody here that's ever had an inkling of what the Word of God says will agree with me that our country is going in the wrong direction. Our country is going as straight away from God as it can possibly go according to what God's Word says. Now, with that said, we elected a president about 8 years ago that said he was an agent of change that would lead our country. And I hope you don't run me off for saying this, but he did lead our country in another direction, but not in a godly way. We're going to tie that all in here in just a minute. I have watched the man that is now our president-elect, and several preachers have came forward, and evangelists, and said that they have experienced a difference in his life, that he's now trusting in God. Well, you know, I hope that's true for the sake of the church, but I believe we live in a society today that if something doesn't change in our society today, that we are going and will continue to go so far away from God that there will not be any turning back. I believe that God has given us an opportunity in the next 4 years to turn back to God. Just as Moses was given the opportunity to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, for they had been in bondage about 400 years. And you know, as they were in bondage there for 400 years, I don't think they really understood the extent of what they were as opposed to what God had in store for them. I believe that God is calling on Christian people today to get behind this president that we have, but more importantly, to get behind Jesus Christ and the church today and fortify the church, fortify the Word of God, fortify Congress, fortify everyone that has an elected place that has authority over us today to change things that are going on today. We live in a corrupt, sinful society today. I don't care who knows it. I'll preach that word today because I can. If things don't change, there will be a time when I can't stand in this pulpit and preach about such things as that because sinful men will not allow it. But godly men must stand up to the Word of God and preach the Word of God and say, we've had enough. We've had enough of the way we're going, and we want to change society today, and we want to get back in a godly way. Moses said, I'm not the one for the job. And I'm sure Donald Trump said at one point he wasn't the one for the job. And I'm sure that Moses, when he thought about it, he didn't think that he could do the job. He was a wanted man and the last person in the world that should go back into Egypt. As Donald Trump, when we first started talking about a new president, I said, that's the last person in the world that I want to lead our country. But I've changed my mind because I think Christian people can change even Donald Trump today and they can make him a godly man and lead our country back to God. If we trust in God for the change, amen? A man, a fleshly man, will never change our country, but a godly man will change our country. A godly man will lead us back into the ways of God. As Moses was talking, and he said, what can I go back and tell these people? Oh, I think about what he said, and I think about how God told him what to say. You know, I just love for a man to stand up in the White House today and saying, I'm here because I have the fear of God today. I'm here because God told me that you don't need to know anything else about our direction other than God said that I am has sent me and I am will deliver us from the sinful ways that we've been going. Amen? If you'll turn with me to John, the 8th chapter, Jesus was talking about the people there, and he said, and I'll begin reading in the 8th chapter in verse 33. And Jesus answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed. They answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And then verse 36 says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I don't think the United States of America realizes today as a whole, and it's up to us as Christians, believers, to convey that to the lost people that are out there. I don't think that we realize what a bondage of sin that we're in today. I think God has better things in store today for the church. God has better things in store today for each and every one of you that are truly Bible-believing, blood-washed, born-again Christian people. And you know, I say that for effect, but I say that because society has told, statistics have told me that even in the church today, many churches today across the land talk about what religious people they are. But according to what statistics tell us, only 25% of the people that are in our churches today are truly born-again, Bible-believing Christians. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. It's time to get it right. It's time to get it right now before death. It's time to get it right now before we go through any more bombing. It's time for Christian people across our land to stand up for God and voice an opinion. We sit idly by and folded our hands and said, well, we're just going to let things ride from here and not say anything. And let me tell you, it has gone farther and farther and farther away from God. We have some issues today that I don't believe are the issues that the president needs to deal with. We're going to get into that in just a minute. Someone told me a while ago that I have the liberty to preach as long as I want to, and that we didn't have to get out here at 12 o'clock. So praise God for that. And I hope nobody has to go to work until tomorrow morning. We'll have time to get all through this because I think it's that important. Amen. Don't get up and walk out yet. I'm not half done. Somebody even told me a while ago they get tired of sitting in church when the preacher preaches too long. If you do, just stand up and shout. That's what they do in our church. Amen. If you get tired of sitting, just stand up and shout. We're a Bible, a Baptist-type church, but we're not dead. Amen? One of the issues that comes to mind is the abortion issue. Oh, people don't want to talk about the abortion issue, but let me tell you, it's time the Christian people talked about the abortion issue. The abortion issue is nothing short of murder itself. Now, let me tell you just how bad it has gotten, and just how bad the society has accepted the abortion issue. If I were to bring an innocent baby in here and I saw some, what happened to all the babies? You took them out. Oh, they're probably in the nursery. As I looked around this morning, I saw several babies that were not very old this morning. And me as your pastor, if I would stand up and say, give me that baby, and I would decide, now please don't leave, I'm just stating facts. And I'd say, let me take that baby and take that baby into my arm, and I would thrust the thing into the back of that baby's brain, suck out all the brains, and put that child to death. You'd think I was the most awful person that ever was. Well, if I bring that baby into this church and lay it down here at this altar, after I had done that horrible thing to it, you'd know for a fact that I was an awful, awful person. Well, let me tell you, what if I bring 147 of them and put them in a pile right down here in the middle of this church today? What would you think of me as a pastor? If I would preach to you that it's all right to do that, well, let me tell you, when I drive to Fredericktown, my wife and I pass a sign on the front of a church that says today's society has agreed that it's all right to put to death 147 babies. Now listen to this. I thought it was wrong. I went back and checked it. 147 babies an hour in our country today, and there are people that would stand up and say, it's my business. The church doesn't have anything to say about it. Nobody has anything to say about it. I'll do with my body whatever I want to do with it. And we have mass massacred babies all across our country in the name of religious freedom, if you will, and doing the things that we choose, that we think is all right to do. Let me tell you, somebody that was brought up in a good fundamental church, somebody that was brought up in a good Sunday school class like they have in this church, somebody that's been in the Word of God, does not agree with that theory. Amen? That is wrong. That is murder. It's just as wrong as it can be, and it will never be right. I have noticed President Trump, when he was campaigning and he wanted to get votes, and it was so important to him that he got elected, and I voted for him. Amen? He was the best choice that we had. But I did notice some things that I don't agree with, and again, I don't think that's things he needs to change, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. The gay marriage thing. The gay marriage is just as wrong as it can be according to God's Word.
Amen.
Now, if you don't believe that, I'll tell you what, you don't have to believe it. I'm going to read it, amen? Turn with me, if you will, to Romans, the first chapter. Verse 22. Oh, this just depicts society today and all the intelligent men that we have today. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even the women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. Drop down into verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same things, but have pleasure in them that do them. Have we gotten so far away from that that we don't recognize God's opinion on what's going on today in society. Let me tell you, the church that I pastor, I preached the sermon one Sunday night, and I mean, I believe in preaching God's Word just like it says in there. I'll not preach anything else. If I ever preach in a church and they tell me not to preach God's Word, then you just won't dismiss me because I'm going to leave. My services are done at that point. I preached a service about in one Sunday night about how we have to keep the church pure. And they said, Pastor, what's your stand on homosexuality? I said, I wish I had a whole church full of people to preach to that are homosexuals because they need to hear the Word of God. We need to love them. We need to get them into the house of God. But they need to come to the altar and they need to repent of their sinful ways. And they need to bring it right down here and they need to change their lives as a result of it because it's sin and it's wrong in God's eyes. And I even went a little farther to say that you cannot have people standing up in a leadership position in your church that is a homosexual. And two couples got up and left. They got up and left. And so somebody said, well, you know, they have children in their family are homosexual. You know, how are we going to get them back? I said, when they're ready to receive the Word of God, they'll come back. But I'll still be preaching it. Amen. I'm still going to be preaching what God says that we're supposed to preach on. I love homosexual people, but they need to change. It's a sin, and it's rampant all across our country today, and it's getting worse every single day because society and government has upheld it. Let me say this and make no mistake about it. I don't care how much sin you legalize at judgment time, it's going to be wrong in God's eyes. Amen? All right, let's move on. It says in the Ten Commandments, that we'll have no other gods before Him. There's only one God. We talked about that in Sunday school a little bit this morning. We had a good Sunday school lesson. And society today has said that there are many gods in the world and that we're supposed to give them equal opportunity, equal rights, equal everything. And let me tell you, when I first started hearing those things, I thought, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back really soon. But then, as things went along and time went along, they got a little stronger. And they got a little mightier. And they started putting their mosques up all over the place. And let me tell you, there's a cancer. There's a cancer that's eating into our government today. There's a cancer eating into our church today. There's a cancer eating into our politicians today. And that cancer is the Muslim faith. It's growing by leaps and bounds. Their one purpose, their one goal of even being here in the United States is to put Christian people to death because they hate us with a passion. And the only good Christian they want to see is a dead Christian. Amen? Yet we've held them up, and our founding fathers said if we ever take our sights off God, if we ever back off, if we ever weaken, then our country will surely fail. Our country is failing today because we've left God. And then in God's Word, it says something about honoring thy father and mother. When we think about that, look at society today. How children are growing up, and they usually have a mother, quite often, and there's no father in the family. And sometimes the mothers of today's intelligent society, ladies that are professional ladies that work for a living and so on, take it upon themselves to be artificially inseminated. And then they have children on their own because they just don't need the father in the family anymore. Well, let me tell you, that's against everything that God said. It takes a father and it takes a mother. Let me back up. I'm going to clarify that. It takes a godly mother and a godly father to raise godly children. And we need godly children in our society today. And we do not have that. Satan has decided to break down the family structure in such a way that there is no family structure. And we have children being raised up today, not even knowing who their father is, and not seeing too much of their mother, and never coming into the house of God because it's not fashionable anymore to even come into the house of God. I think I might have told you this before. I'm going to tell you again, it's so important. We are about to turn our country over to a group of young people that we call the millennials. And right now, the millennials, if I understand it right, only 51% of the millennials even believe that there is a God. I can remember sitting in churches when the old-time evangelists had those great old revival meetings years ago, and they would talk about raising our children, and they said, if you don't keep your children in the house of God, if you don't keep your children in Sunday school, if you don't keep your children into a family altar in your home, you're going to raise a group of children that don't know anything about God, and so therefore they can't teach it to their children. And in just two generations, we'll raise a generation of people that know nothing about God at all. We have done that. We have accomplished that today. We have raised a generation of people that absolutely have no fear. They have no knowledge of God whatsoever. It's time today for the church to stand up. It's time today for the church to come alive. It's time today for the church to get behind every politician in government, all the way up to the White House, up to and including the President of the United States. Now, with that said, I'd just like to look at Proverbs 17:25. If we continue working in the flesh, if we continue doing things in a fleshly way, and we continue to depend upon our intelligence, because we have some very intelligent men in our society today, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, let me tell you what I think the answer for our country is today. The answer for our country is today that we support this man that's the President of the United States, and we let him know through every avenue of advertising that we can. We let him know in every way that we can that we're standing up for you right now, that you can lead our country back to God. It doesn't make any difference about the abortion issue. It doesn't make any difference about the murder issue. It doesn't make any difference about any issue that's going on. If we get back to God, we'll know the difference in all these other things. Amen? I believe, according to what the newspapers have taught me and the news channels have taught me, that our country is in a more danger today than it has ever been in the history of the United States. I believe that there are nuclear warheads all over the world that are aimed directly at the United States of America. I believe that according to what everything that teaches us, that the things that are going on today, that people that absolutely hate Christian people that are sitting today with their finger just on the trigger, just ready to pull it. And I think the only thing that's keeping that trigger from being pulled is the fact that Almighty God is still protecting our country. So, we have this attitude. Well, you know, it's important to us that we kill 147 babies an hour in our country. It's important to us that we take guns out of the closet and just go out and shoot each other to death. Nothing wrong with that. It's important to us that we riot, and we plunder, and we do all the things that Christian people don't do. But society has approved of it and said it's all right to do. It's all right if our children grow up and they become gay, and you know, boys marry boys and girls marry girls. And it's okay even if preachers will welcome them in and perform those ceremonies in the church, in the house of God. It's all right if we dilute God's Word down and use a more palatable a Bible, one that doesn't talk so much about sin and hell and things like that, because we don't want to offend anybody. It's all right if we do those things. Well, let me tell you, I just can't believe that the God that I know and the God that you know is sitting on His heavenly throne saying, that's my people. That's who I'm going to protect down there. Aren't they wonderful? Aren't they doing a great job? Aren't they glorifying me like I've said? You know, He makes a statement. He says, if you'll glorify me, I'll glorify you. If you curse me, I'll curse you. Amen? All God has to do at this time is pull back His hand of blessing from our country, and then we've got it all, and then look what's going to happen. Amen? Amen. if God pulls back His blessings from our country today, our country is in trouble. Oh, we talk about, we've got nuclear warheads too. We've got tanks. We've got mighty ships that sail all around the country. Let me tell you, they're not afraid of us. They're not afraid of us in any way. If you don't believe that, just watch some of the things that are happening to our Navy, how those ships, battleships of Iran, come just within a few feet of the front, and then airplanes fly over the top, just intimidating us to no end. Let me tell you what my theory on that is, and I think it's God's theory. They think that we've gotten so far away from God that God's not going to deliver us anymore. And they might just go ahead and pull the trigger, amen? They might just go ahead and jump us into World War III because they don't really know that we're standing up for God anymore, because the church has become so complacent and the church has become so meek. The church has gotten to the point now where it's just unimportant to this society what the church thinks. But let me tell you the message that God told me to bring to you today. It's simply this. It's time for the church to stand up. It's time to let people outside the church know what's going on in our government is not right according to God's Word. And we stand on this Word of God, and we're going to stand on this Word of God, because without God on our side, we have no hope in this country. Amen? Without God on our side, we're in big trouble. Amen? Without God on our side, then we will surely fail. As our founding fathers so told us when they wrote the original Bill of Rights. And so when we think about all the things that are happening in Congress today, will this man lead us back in a godly way? If he leads us back in the next 4 years in a godly way, and you know, you saw the things on the television, there's so much unrest, there's so much in society going on today, that some may not lead, but some may. That if something doesn't change, he has a 4-year trial period. Now, you know, we originally talked about this about Moses. Moses set out to deliver the children of Israel. You know, we need to think about this. This is so funny. And they had an 11-day journey that took them 40 years. They had an 11-day journey that took them 40 years. And you say, why did it take them 40 years? Why is it? Because of disobedience, there was a bunch of people that didn't want to follow. It wasn't Moses' fault. It wasn't anybody's fault other than they just didn't trust God. So we have a decision today. Do we trust God or not? Is God real in our lives or not? Are we going to continue to support sin and honor sin in our society today? Even all the way up into our government today. There are people that are sitting today in Congress, I'm not going to call any names, you know who they are, that are some of the vilest, wicked men in the world. And you know what? They get elected every year just for running, because ungodly people elect them into office. And we as a church sit back. We say, well, I guess that's just the way it is. God has never given up on His people, and we should never give up on Him. This new man that's elected president for the next 4 years has an opportunity to draw God's blessings back down upon the United States of America with the help of Israel. This new man has an opportunity to change the sinful ways of this world and this society today. This new man has a way, an opportunity, and a way to lead us back to God. But let me tell you, if he gets into the White House and he trusts in the flesh, and we know that he's kind of a proud guy, if he says, look how intelligent I am, and this is what I'm going to do, we need a man in Congress. We need a man in the White House that will fall down on bended knees every time there's a decision to be made and say, God, direct my thoughts direct my ways. God, direct every decision that I make now, that I can lead these people with your protection, not because of me, but because of you. Then we have a chance. We today need to be on bended knees, letting this president-elect know that we're expecting things out of him, that as he tries to bend our country, and listen, he'll have all the opposition in the world, tries to bend our country back to godly ways, that he has the support of Christian people across the country. And we just pray that he has the counsel of Christian people that surround him in the White House. Oh, I just love to hear about an important decision being made in Congress when all those wicked, not all of them, wicked men in Congress say, well, we're going to vote on this, but before we do, we're going to have a word of prayer and we're going to ask God's blessings upon our decision. We're going to have God's approval on this, or we're not going to vote for it. When the Bill of Rights was originally came into play, people on bended knees bowed before God, dedicated themselves to God, and said, God, lead us now. Lead this country and make it great. God has lived up to His end, but we have destroyed it by getting away from God. And let me tell you, I don't think it's over. I don't think it's over. In the next 4 years, he'll either lead us back into godly ways, or this is what I believe will happen. I believe that it may take an awakening to happen to the United States of America that's as wicked and vile as this. That will it take an army tank from Iran or some other country that hates us so badly to drive down American Legion Drive out here with Pastor Hoggard's head on the gun turret on the front for us to wake up and realize that we need to do something as a church? That's an awful thing to say. But let me tell you something. I thank God every day for the land that I've grown up in, that I'm a part of, that I live in. But it happens every day. Those wicked and vile things happen every day. That Christians are bent over and their heads cut off and put up in public display because they hate Christians that much. And so we sit by again and we say, well, you know, that's a shame that happened. But we're not supposed to say anything, you know, because, you know, government don't like that. And we need to uphold the Muslim faith. They're coming by leaps and bounds into our society and into our country because they know where that's they can be the most effective. Our country will be completely destroyed if Jesus doesn't come back. I believe it will be under the Muslim control in just a very few years. So, in closing, I'd just like to say this. We have a man that says he trusted in God, and he has faith in God. He has surrounded himself with a good vice president that says he's a Christian. And different evangelists have already met with him and they've prayed with him. And he says he believes he's in that position now because of his faith in God. He'll be faced with all the opposition you can be faced with. But let me tell you, getting back to Exodus 3, God says, I am that I am. We serve a risen Savior, not a dead one. We serve a God of power and strength and might. We serve a God that has protected this country and led this country all the way up to where it is now. Why he's done that the last few years, I don't understand. But it must be because of his patience and long suffering. He has led us up and protected us to where we are now, even with our sinful ways that are here. But I don't know how long that's going to last. Christian people need to fall down on bended knees today, and they need to lift up the name of our country to God Almighty. Say, God, we haven't forgotten you. We need to lift up the name of Donald Trump, our president-elect. We need to lift up the name of our vice president and every congressman that has a vote that will change the direction of this country. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. I believe that there's a lot of strength and power in prayer. And I think the church as a whole has forgotten to pray about these very elements, these very things that can deliver us. And if we continue down the direction that we're going, they're going to continue down the direction they're going. So let's stand together as the pianist comes forward, please, and plays a song of invitation.